Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Gimel of an Aleph by the fourth line down. Gemara asked the question that it just asked before, which was, Velo Manu Shmitim V'Yovlot. Gemara first asked that question with regards to the Braita. The Braita suggested that they were counting Shmitim and Yovlot. The Braita says, how could that be possible that they were counting Shmitim and Yovlot? Because we know that the Asarat Shvatim went into Galut prior to the Korban HaBayit, significant amount of time before that. And that means that you didn't have Kol Yosheveh Aleha. You did not have all of Klal Yisrael on their land, and therefore the Yovlot would not have been counted anymore. So how are we speaking about the Yovlot being counted, whether it's the Sof Korban Bayit Rishon, or whether it's Bayit Sheni at all, how are they counting Yovlot, or why they're counting Yovlot? So the Gemara's answer, the first time we asked the question, Velo Manu Shmitim Yovlot, was, in Ochanami they did count Yovlot, but the counting of the Yovlot was not significant in terms of Yovel. They said they were Manu Yovlot, the Kadesh Shmitim. The only reason they counted the Yovlot was in order to ensure that Shmita came out in the right time. Now, first of all, the Gemara says that's only true for the Rabbanan, not true for Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Rabbanan believe that the Yovel is the 50th year. It's not Ode Lekan, but Lekan. It's a separate year from the Shemitah cycle. There are 49 years in the Shemitah cycle, 50th year is the Yovel. So therefore I need a placeholder, put in the Yovel to know to skip the 50th year and then restart the count afterwards. For Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Yovel is part of the 49-year cycle, it's irrelevant to keep the Yovel, because automatically if you keep the Shemitah cycle, you'll know when the Yovel is. It's the first of the 49-year cycle. You don't have to put in a placeholder. So Mark concluded, you're right, this is only according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that was the answer of the Gemara until this point. They counted Yovlot just as placeholders. The Gemara now asks the question again, Velo Manu Shmitim B'Yovlot. So your answer suggests that they did count Yovlot, but they were counting Yovlot just as a placeholder. It had no halachic implications in terms of Yovel. It only had implications in terms of keeping the Shemitah cycles. Gemara is now going to show us from Sukkim that there was a din of Yovel even towards the end of Bayit Rishon. Now this is already after the Shvatim and Eber Yardin went into Galut, and it's after the Aseret HaShvatim. The whole Malchut Yisrael went into Galut. Sanhacherib had gotten rid of all of them already. And yet they were still practicing Yovel, but a halachic Yovel. So if that's the case, what do you mean that you were counting Yovlot as a placeholder? It seems like they were counting Yovlot, and they're actually practicing the Yovlot. So the first proof they bring that from is Yirmiyahu. Lo manu shmitim Yovlot, v'aktiv, and Yirmiyahu lamedalit. So in Yirmiyahu lamedalit, Yirmiyahu comes with a whole musar about the fact that the people have not freed their slaves. That after the Yovel had passed, the people are hanging on to their Eved Ivri, they're hanging on to their Shifcha, or Ama Ivriya. They're not freeing the slaves like the Yovel is supposed to be. So here I'll just read you quickly a little piece from Yirmiyahu on Amidala Pasuchet. Advar Sheyel Yirmiyahu Meit Hashem Achrei Krota Melech Tzidkiyahu Brit Et Kol Ha'am. Tzidkiyahu, last king of Yehuda, before the Churban HaBayit, he presides over the Churban HaBayit. So Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, this is in his time. So this is after Galut Aseret HaShvatim. And they make a covenant with the people, Asher Bishlaim Lekol Lahem Dror, to free the slaves. Las shaleach ish avdo v'ish et shivchoto ha'ivri v'ivriya chofshim dovinti avad bam b'yehudi achinu ish. In order to stop this process that they were enslaving their brethren. So this is clearly something that has to do with Yovel, and it's a halachic implication of Yovel. And later in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Anochi karati brit et avotechem b'yom motzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim b'beit avdim le'mur. When I took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, I had a covenant with them this way. Mikesh sheva shanim tashalchu ish et achiv ha'ivri asher yimarcher l'cha. V'avadcho shei shanim v'shalachto chavshi mi'imach. V'lo shamu avotechem elai v'lo hitu et oznam. So this is Minyan and Yomer, Parshat HaShavua. We're going to quote the Parshat HaShavua now, which is, here it says in Yirmiyahu, they had to free them at the seventh year. And they were supposed to free. They worked for 6 years. You free them on the seventh year. This is an Eved Ivri, Ama Ivriya. And the people are not keeping this. And it says in Tetzayin over there, V'teshuva v'techalalu et shimi. V'teshivu ishet avdo v'ishet shivchato asher shilachtem chupshim lenafsham. V'techmishu otam liyot lechem labadim l'shvachot. And even though you said you're sending them free, you go right away, recapture them, re-enslave them, take them back. It's a demon, shvachot. So Gemara first asks, wait a minute, How could it be Miketz Sheva Shanim? How could it be after 7 years? We have a pasuk in Mishpatim that tells us what's the din of an Eved Ivri. This week's parsha says, "Ki macher lecha achicha Ivri o Ivriya v'vadcha sheish shanim uvashana shviit tishalchenu chopshim imach." That in the seventh year he already goes free. So the difference that the Gemara is playing on is over there it says uvashana shviit, in the seventh year you go free, whereas over here in Yirmiyahu it says miketz sheva shanim, the end of the seventh year, which really means to the he's only free in the eighth year. How could it be? So we have a reconciliation between them. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Sheish l'nimkar, v'sheva l'nirtzah. 6 for one who is sold, 7 for one who gets their ear pierced. And that is based on the parsha in the Dvarim. In Dvarim, it describes that an Eved Ivri who chooses to stay on with his Adon, he has the right to stay on with his Adon, he gets his ear pierced, and he stays until the Leolam there, but Leolam means Lamo Shel Yovel, he stays until the Yovel. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok suggests, Parsha Mishpatim, this week's Parsha is talking about a regular Eved Ivri. If he sells himself into his Adon, he works for 6 years, the seventh year he's free. If he decides to stay into the Yovel, then he goes free in the Yovel. So what we're speaking about in Parshat Mishpatim, regular Eved Ivri that sold himself into slavery, or was sold into slavery. So then, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok suggests the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says that he stays through the seventh year, and only goes free in the eighth year, he's talking about a case where the Yovel was that year. So they had 6 years, he's talking about a regular Eved Ivri. The New York size, what they're speaking about in Yirmiyahu. Now let's figure this out. Yirmiyahu is speaking to the people in Tzidkiyahu's time. Sof Bayit Rishon. This is after Galut Aseret Shvatim, after the Eved Yerdain's been cleared out. And yet, he's saying you're not practicing the Ovel, you're not sending your Avadim and Shvachot free. So this is a halachic Yovel, not just a placeholder Yovel. So it seems that they kept the Yovel. Gemara says, no. That's not a problem. That's just, he was giving them Musar. Ha-ho, betoch chaktiv. He's just being mochiach them that you didn't do this. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Vikamar Navi, hashalachtem? So he says, the Navi says, did you send them away? Meaning in the past. Did you do this? Did you keep the laws of Yovel in the past? Gemara says, vaktiv. Pasuk says, it's a pasuk I skipped when I was reading it in Pasuk Yud, there in Yirmiyahu, I skipped this pasuk, but here, Vayishmu kol asarim v'chol ha'am asher bo b'brit, v'shalach ish et avdo v'ish et shvifchato chovshim levilti avad ba'am od. The people agree to the covenant that is placed here by Tzidkiyahu that says we're going to free our slaves. Vayishmu, they listen, vayishaleichu, and they send them out. So what do you mean it's about tochacha? Here they literally send them out. And in the next pasuk in Yud Aleph, so the other pasuk I skipped was, "Vayeshuva achrei kein, vayeshivu et avadim et teshvachot teshuchu chofshim." They send them away for about 5 minutes, and then take them right back. Meaning that they keep the brit, they keep the covenant, but then they abrogate the covenant by taking them back shortly afterwards. But you see here that they're actually carrying it out. This isn't about tochacha about the past. This is literally on the spot. They're sending their slaves away. So it says, "Vayishmeu." That can't be. So this is a solution that we saw actually back on Daf Yud Bet. Earlier in the Masechta, when we were trying to calculate the Yovlot, the Shmitim, about when the Churban HaBayit was, Rishon and Sheni, said here at the end of Bayit Rishon, one of the solutions to the problem of fitting in the Chachamim, as well as Rabbi Yehuda, was Yirmiyahu ex Ziram. That Yirmiyahu brought back the Aseret HaShvatim, V'yashi'ahu ben Amon, Malach Aleihem. And Yoshio was the king over a united Klal Yisrael of both Yehuda and Israel. Umanola and the Hador. But from where do you know that the Aseret HaShvatim came back after Sancheriv threw them out? Tichtiv. Because this is the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk in Yechezkel, I give you the Pasuk before as well. It says, Ba'et Higiayom. Time has come. Hakoneh Al Yismach. The buyer will not be happy, or he shouldn't be happy. Ba'amukher Ayitabal. And the seller should not be sad. God's anger is going to be on all the people. Ki hamocher ela mimkar lo yeshuv. The one who sells isn't coming back to see his sale. Vod b'chayim chayatam ki chazon el kol amona lo yeshuv. Ve'ish bavano chayato lo yitchazaku. So basically, he says the time's coming. God's going to let his anger out on you, and you're not going to come back. So normally, the seller is sad about his sale. He has to give up his property. He's not happy about it. So over here, God says, you don't have to be unhappy anymore. The buyer, you don't have to rejoice with your purchase because you're not going to come back to see it again. And that's also true here. Now, The Pashtuta Pasuk is that it has nothing to do with the Ovel, is that the reason you're not going to see it anymore is because after you sell it, nobody's going to be around to do anything with it. The Gemara here is darshaning that it refers to the Ovel. What does it mean that the seller should not be sad? Because he's not going to see it come back in the Ovel. He's not going to get it back like he normally would, because he's not going to be here. So what's the difference if he sells or he doesn't sell? It's not going to make any difference. So Gemara says, well, that shows you that the Yovel was in practice. How could it be that the Navi is giving a nevuah that the Yovel will be taken out of practice? If it wasn't in practice, what is it that Yechezkel is predicting that it's going to go out of practice? Yechezkel is a Navi prior to the Churban, going into the Churban, and then post the Churban in Bavel. So here, Yechezkel is giving a nevuah that the Yovel will go out of practice. But that means that they were practicing it. Ella, Malamesh, Yechzirah, Mirmiel. That Yovel must have brought them back, and that's why they were practicing the Yovel, because all of Kol Yoshveh Aleha. Uminolon de Yoshiah Malach Alehem. How do you know that Yoshiah Melech was the king under which they reunited, and that Yirmiyahu brought them back? Now this has to do with the Nebuah that is back in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel. Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel is the beginning of the reign of Yeravam. Yeravam ben Avat, who's the first king of the divided kingdom. You have Yehudah, Shlomo's son, Rechavam, is ruling over Yehudah. Yeravam breaks away with the other Shvatim. He begins the northern kingdom. Yeravam then sets up the Agalim in Beit El and in Dan. And the Navi, Hashem sends the Navi to him in Beit El to tell him, what are you doing? I made you king over the people, and here you are worshipping Avodah Zarah. What are you doing? So in that process, the Navi comes and speaks to him and says, B'nei ish elkim bami Yehudah b'dvar Hashem el Beit El. He comes with the word of Hashem from Yehudah to Beit El. Riyavam omeid al mizbeach v'aktir. And Yehudah is standing there about to be makriv on this mizbeach in front of the Egel. He calls out to the Mizbeach with the word of Hashem. Ayomer, Mizbeach, Mizbeach, Komar Hashem. You and the Mizbeach is what Hashem says. Hinei ben nolad to Beit David. There will be a child born to Beit David, Yoshiyahu Shimo. His name will be Yoshiyahu. Vizavach alecha et kohenei habamot. And he will place on this Mizbeach the priests of the Bamot, Hamaktirim Alecha, who are Makriv on you, those that worship Yehovah Zerah. Vatzmot Adam Yisrahu Alecha, and he'll take all the bones of those that are buried here and burn them on top of it. Benatan Bayomahu Mofet Lemor. He says there'll be a sign today. Amofet Asher Diber Hashem, Inim Mizbeach Nikra. The Mizbeach's gonna crack now, and Yishbach Adash and Asher Lev, and the ashes that are on are gonna fall away, and then Yeravam's arms get stuck. Turns into stone, he gets stuck. The whole story of the Navi in Yehudah. After that, the Navi leaves, and he violates the word of Hashem. Hashem told him he's not allowed to stop by anybody, he's not allowed to eat by anybody. So Yeravam invites him to come over. He says, I can't. God said, no, I'm out of here. On the other hand, there was a Navi Sheker, an older man, who bumps into this Navi and tells him, listen, Hashem came to me and told me that you should come over. As if he was Mevatel, the original Nevuah. So then he goes ahead and he goes over to eat with this individual. And the Nevuah comes to him while he's there and says to him, actually comes to the Navi Sheker, and tells him that he's going to die for doing this. He walks out of there and he's killed by a lion a couple of moments after he leaves the house. And he's left there on the road. The other Navi Sheker also ends up dying. And he has his children to bury him next to the Navi Emet. Fast forward to the time of Yoshiyahu. And that's what the Gemara here quotes, the Pasuk of Melachim Bet, Perchav Gimel. Comes the time of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu does a mass cleanup from his father. His father was a major Ovid of Avodah Zarah. He let all the Kohen Abamot, everything out. Yoshiyahu leads a tshuva movement after they find the Sefer Torah, B'yamav, and he leads a tshuva movement. In part of that tshuva movement, he says, Vayifein Yoshiyahu, Vayaret Kvarim Asher Sham Bahar. This is the graves that are on the mountain. Vayishlach, Vayikach et Atzamot Min HaKvarim. Takes the bones out of the graves by Srof ala Mizbeach, and he burns them on the Mizbeach, just like was predicted by the Navi. Vayitameyu kidvar Hashem asher kura ish elukim asher kura tedvarim elu. Just like the Navi had predicted this was going to happen, with Yoshiyahu was going to do this. Vayomer matzion alaz. Then he looks at one point, he says, what is that tombstone over there? Asher ani ro'eh, that I see. Ve'yomru elav anshei ha'ir. The people of the city tell him, what city is it talking about? Obviously, it's talking about the city of Beit El, because the person you're going to speak to is Hakever Ish Elokim Asher Ba Miyuda. This is the grave of that Navi that came from Yehuda. And he predicted exactly what you're going to do on the Mizbeach in Beit El. And then the Yoshio continues around to do all of these things that he did in Beit El. He goes in and he burns the Kohanei Abamot on the Mizbechot and the bones of those people that are buried around there. And it concludes the prediction of this Navi back in the time of Yeravam about what's going to happen. So now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Malachim Bet. I gave you the background from Malachim Aleph, which was the prediction that this was going to happen. And the Gemara wants to know, what was Yoshio HaMelech doing in Beit El? What was Yoshio doing in Beit El? Beit El is capital, one of the capital cities of the northern kingdom. Yoshio is a melech Yehuda. What was he doing? Traversing, walking around in Beit El. Ella, kishikziram Yirmiyo, Yoshio malachaleyem. When Yirmiyo brought them back, Yoshio was the king over them. Now again, in Pshat, the majority of the northern kingdom was put into Galut. There were remnants of Israel that were left in the northern kingdom. And Yoshio was going to clean up those remnants that he controlled those areas, and then he was taking care of them, the remnants of Israel. It says it's more explicit in the Psukim that the people from Yudah came to this part of the Tshuva movement. Some of those remnants from Israel come, the majority do not come to be a part of the Tshuva movement. But that's probably most likely what happened, and they were the remnants of what's in Kharev left behind. The Gemara over here says that it refers to the fact that the northern kingdom was brought back by Yirmiyahu, and therefore Yoshio rules over a united Klal Yisrael, and that's when they reinstated the Ovel. So now they brought back the Shvatim, in that case, they reinstated the Ovel. That's what we answered back on Yud-Bet Yud-Gimel, when we discussed the issue of counting the Ovelot. They restarted the count of the Ovelot 36 years before Chorban HaBayit. That was in the Zman of Yoshio HaMelech. In the middle of his reign, after he's 18 years old, when he leads the Tshuva movement, he restarts the count of the Ovel, and that's why 14 years after the Chorban, you hit a Ovel, because they restarted the count 36 years before the end of his reign. That was one of the answers we gave, one of the baitemas we gave earlier in the Masechta.
I was going to ask, there were people there that answered it, hadn't meant they weren't just members of Malchut Yehuda.
They knew of the history.
They knew the history of the place, so that proves that it was...
It's clear that they were Yisraelim. The question is, were they Yisraelim who were left behind, remnants, or were they Yisraelim that were brought back? Now, the Gemara says, Nachman bar Yitzchak bar Michal, I have a proof from here, from Hosea. It's a pasuk at the end of Perek Vav in Hosea. It's all 11 psukim. The Perek says, "Gam Yehuda shat katzir lach b'shuvi shvut ami." So now Rashi says that the Gemara here is interpreting katzir to mean katzin, that it'll be a ruler. That don't read it katzir but katzin. It says, "Gam Yehuda shat katzin lach b'shuvi shvut ami." I'll make you the katzin, the leader, when I bring back my nation. Now, truthfully, that's not, again, not the Pashtut HaPsukim. Pashtut HaPsukim is, I read the Pashtut before, Beit Yisrael, Ra'iti Sha'aruriya. That's a modern Hebrew word now. Sha'aruriya. I see this wildness. Shamznut, Lefraim Nitma Yisrael. That the northern kingdom already is doing bad. Gam Yehuda Shat Katzir Lach V'Shuvi Shvutami. He says, you think I'm going to bring them back? You go, Yehuda, you're going the same direction as Yisrael. I'm not going to bring anybody back, and you're going out the same way, because Yehuda is doing the same thing that Yisrael is doing. They're going to follow in their footsteps. But the Gemara is reading in isolation, saying, Gam Yehuda shat katzir lach. It's saying it as a statement, b'shuvi shvutami, that I'm bringing back. I brought them back, and Yehuda will rule over them. So that's the way they're reading that pasuk in Hosea, to say that Yehuda then ruled over a united Klal Yisrael. So that's another proof to the fact that he brought back the Ami. And the answer to this question will be that he brought them back, and therefore there was Rov Yosheva Aleha. There was Rov Yosheva Aleha, they could practice Yovel. So that's the end of the Gemara. Question is, what's the halacha? And that question has two impacts. One, first of all, is, what's the halacha? HaChachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda. Is the halacha that we count 50 years when it comes to a Yovel cycle? Or is the halacha that we count 49 years when it comes to a Yovel cycle? That's the first halacha. The second halacha is, according to the Chachamim, if we paskin like the Chachamim, that it's a 50-year cycle, do we subscribe to the previous answer of the Gemara, which is, Manu Yovlot, the Kadesh Shmitim, Do we count the Yovel in order to be a placeholder for the Shemitim? So first of all, the Bali HaTosfot, Paskin, the Bali HaTrumah, many of the Tosfot, Bali HaTosfot, Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Yovel is only a 49-year cycle. It's Oleh Dekan, Oleh Dekan. It's Tosfot in Rosh Hashanah, Tosfot in Avodah Zarah. They all Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, it's a 49-year cycle. And the Ravid as well, Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, at least in one place in Shas, and again when he argues on the Rambam, he seems to say that it's a 49-year cycle, and the Lacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Oleh Dekan, Oleh Dekan. And then, therefore, this Gemara is all a Libid de Rabbanon, and Lacha is not relevant in terms of Manu, Yovlot, the Kadesh Shemitim is not relevant according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not relevant because you don't need that extra placeholder because there's only 49-year cycles in the Yovel. And our practice today to count 49 years and to skip the Yovel is because we don't need the Yovel. The Yovel has no halachic implications in Kol Yoshevei Aleha. It also is not a placeholder. You don't need the placeholder because you just can't count 49-year cycles all the way along. Right, we are getting closer. But at least, according to them, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So according to them, there's nothing to discuss over here. Because you don't need a placeholder. The issue comes up to the others who paskin like the Rabbanan, which is the Ramban al-Ashas, and Gitin, the Rambam himself, and it seems like even the Geonim who paskin like the Rabbanan, that there was a 50-year Yovel cycle. And if there's a 50-year Yovel cycle, the question is, what happened to Manu Yovlot to Kadesh Shemitim? Where did that disappear? So the Rambam in his Halachot brings down that the Yovel is this, and he has such and such a Mesora, that the date should come out to be that this is the Shemitah year, and this is the Yovel year. So then he writes right after this, it's one of the most amazing Rambams, it's worthwhile to see it inside anyway, but the Rambam then says, even though that's my Mesora and I think it's right, nevertheless there's a strong Mesora from the Geonim, that says that it's a different year. And then he gives the date of the Geonim, and he says, because they have a strong Mesorah, we defer to the Mesorah, and I will accept the din of the Geonim. The Rambam in a Tshuva, they write to him asking about this din of the Geonim. The Rambam in a Tshuva answers similarly that he has a different date, and that he's still looking into the issue to figure out why there's a difference between them. But he says over there that the difference between them has to do with Kedusha Rishona. The difference between whether Kedusha Rishona was permanent or temporary, and based on that, will determine whether you count the Yovlot or don't count the Yovlot. So he says the Geonim believe that Kedusha Rishona was permanent, and therefore they kept the count alive from the original count, continued it, whereas the Rambam, if you believe that Kedusha Rishona was not permanent, then you have to restart a count afterwards. So he subscribes it to that issue between them. The Kesef Mishnah says that the issue revolves around, and the Ravid seems to say the same thing, even though the Ravid again passes like a Yehuda in the end, it has to do with whether they canceled the Yovlot or not. Do you have a 49-year cycle, or do you have a 50-year cycle? So the Ravid says there's a 49-year cycle based there on the Gonim, and it has to be that they subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's position, and that's why they came out with a different count. It's because the Gonim believed they were like Rabbi Yehuda, not like their Rabbanan. I guess the Mishnah and others reject that, right? And they say that there's actually a difference. There's a difference that during when the Bayit was extant, possibly, or at least until the end of Bayit Rishon, they counted Yovlot. After that, they stopped counting Yovlot. When they were in Galut, there's a Tosafot that we saw earlier in the Masechta that suggests that when they were in the Galut, they only counted the 7-year Shemitah cycles. Yovel became irrelevant, they did not count it. And that might be true. Now here's a machlok between Rashi and the Tosafot, whether they had a Yovel in Bayit Sheni. Rashi says that there was no Yovel in Bayit Sheni. The Tosafot, as well as the Rabbanei Sarfat, the Ramban, believe that there was a Yovel min Torah in Bayit Sheni. You have to deal with why or how they got it to be a Yovel in Bayit Sheni. But there's a machloket about Bayit Sheni. After the Churban HaBayit, everybody seems to agree that they get rid of the Yovel, and there's no Yovel anymore. Question is, why? Why is that? So the Kesef Mishnah mentions that is the difference here, that while they were still counting in the first Bayit, they had the Yovel because Kol Yoshevei Aleha. Once Kol Yoshevei Aleha went away, he says that they stopped the count. What do you mean? They counting like the Rabbanan, 50-year cycles. Manu Yovlot, the Kadesh Mitim. So the Kesef Mishnah says, even though this goes against the Gemara in Erachim, our Gemara right here, he says that I'm saying that this is only according to the Manda Amar that's asking the question, but the Halacha we don't hold that way. And we're not Manu Yovlot, the Kadesh Mitim. And that's how he explains the sheet of the Gonim that the Rambam brings down. The Reb Chaim explains it a different way. Chaim introduces the possibility that Yovel is only in place, you need a minyan, you need a sfirat to beit din. We know that from Parshat Bahar. The only way to mekadesh the Yovel is you have to count the 50 years. And that requires a beit din agadol. As long as there's a beit din agadol around, they count the 50 years, and even though that Yovel has no halakhic implications, it will still be distinct from the Shemitah year. It'll be a 50th year, and you will count it. When there is no beit din there, then the Yovel goes away because there's no count to make the Yovel. The Yovel doesn't exist if there's no count. So whereas the Kesef Mishnah said that the Yovel, when it has no halachic implications, looks no different than any other year of the Shemitah cycle, therefore you don't count the Yovel, Chaim says, no. If you counted the 50 years with the Beit Din, and then you establish the 50th year, then that becomes Yovel. Whether it has halachic implication or not, doesn't matter. It has to do with the count. If you don't have the count, there is no Yovel. So the Gaonim, the Rambam thought that the Yovel continued afterwards. And then the Chachamim say no, that the Gaonim's count said after the Churban HaBayit, or depending where you think it stopped, that the Beit Din no longer was Mikadesh, the Yovlot, by counting the 50 years, and therefore there was no more a placeholder anymore. And that'll explain the difference. Why there was a Yovel during Bayit Sheni as a placeholder, why after the Churban, or maybe after the Beit Din left, that there was no longer a Yovel as a placeholder. So that, according to Reb Chaim, is the way to explain it. And that is our Masorah today. Our practice today, and you can see that from the Geonim, we see that in Shulchan Aruch, brought down by the Ramah as well, brought down by the Beit Yosef, that our practice today is to count cycles of 7 of 7, is to count Shemitah years, and not to have a Yovel at all. Either because Yovel has no halachic implications, and therefore, it's not meaningful, it's no different than any other year of the Shemitah cycle. Or, because like Reb Chaim says, we no longer have a Sfira. All of this is a derivative of the fact that Ein Kol Yoshve Aleha, that there isn't, we don't have Rov Klal Yisrael on the land at this point. There might be a time that it comes back to Rov Yoshve Aleha. There'll be a Rov Yoshve Aleha, and therefore, we will start the count, we'll have to start the count again for the Yovel. The only thing that we may not qualify for, this, some of the Rishonim argue about, it's not clear. We had yesterday two qualifications in terms of Kol Yoshve Aleha. We needed Kol Yoshve Aleha plus, we needed all the Shvatim Bim Koman. So most Rishonim believe, like Rashi, that Shvatim Bim Koman is literally, you need all the Shvatim in their places. The Rehina Tam believes that you just need one representative from each Shevet to come back, and that's enough to reestablish the Yovel de Oraita. And therefore, it might be our issue as well, if we have representatives from Avol Shvatim, and that's also a question. After Yirmiyahu brought back the Aseret HaShvatim, what happened to the Aseret HaShvatim? Rabbeinu Tam claims they were put into Galut with the rest of Yehudah, and when Ezra and Nehemiah come back, they bring back representatives of all the Shvatim. Although the Pesukim and Ezra and Nehemiah say they only brought back Yehudah and Binyamin, Yehudah and Binyamin. So the Ramban argues against that position and says that's not true. He says that when they came back, they were Moneh Yovlot, to keep as a placeholder, wasn't it? Alright, so he didn't have Rov Yoshve Aleha, but he certainly didn't bring back. Those that were brought back, the Aseret HaShvatim that were brought back, never went into Galut Bavel. They ended up getting lost, they ended up staying here, whatever it was, they never came back to be unified with Yehudah and Binyamin when they were sent into Galut. Therefore, you need that second requirement, which is that the Shvatim be Bim Koman. So we're still missing that piece of the puzzle, except according to Rabbeinu Tam, we might reach the point of Rov Yoshve Aleha over the next couple of years that might cause or the need or necessitate the reinstatement of the Yovel. Again, whether it's Yovel d'Oraita or Yovel d'Rabbanan, at least might have to restart the count. And in that case, we'd have to be Moneh Yovlot, the Kadesh Shvitim. We would need the Yovel to pick a placeholder instead of having what we have today, which is just cycling of the Shvi'id cycle. Okay, next Mishnah. So the next Mishnah deals with Batim. We dealt with Batei Arei Chuma, which is houses in walled cities. Now we're moving over to Batei Chatzerim. Batei Chatzerim are houses that are not in walled cities. So if you look in the Psukim, it says, in Vayikra Chamei, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, U'batei HaChatzerim, Asher in lehem Chuma Saviv, they do not have a wall around them, Asdei HaAretz Yechashev, that we consider like the Sadot, Kulat Yelo, they should be able to be redeemed, U'bovayo Yitzei, and they go out with the Yovel. So this Mishnah is dealing with that. Batei Chatzirim, Yodim Lahem Koach Yafeh, Shebebatei Arei Chuma, Bekoach Yafeh, Shebesadot. They get the benefits of a house in a walled city, as well as the benefits of a field. So what's the benefit of being a house in a walled city? Is Nigali Miyad, that you're allowed to be redeemed immediately. Where it goes a Sadeh, you have to wait 2 years before you can redeem it. Kol Shem Asar HaChodesh Kibbatim, and the whole first 12 months, you're allowed to redeem it. And this is unique. In fact, so once you go Miyad, of course, you can redeem it over the next 12 months. V'yotzim bi'ovel. They returned on the Yovel, ubi'giron kesef, and also with a diminution of the payment, the purchase price, like fields. Fields you're allowed to buy back at any time after the two-year period with a reduction of the price based on the number of years between the purchase price and the Yovel. Or, if it's not done, it comes back to you on the Yovel. Same with this house. This house can be bought back during any of that period of time. It's not chalut after 12 months. And number two is it comes back to you during the Yovel. So, Dan Rabbanan, where do we get these dinim from? It says, Alstei Haaretz Yechashev. Ishua Katuv, the Stei Achuza, pairs the Batei Chatzerim to a Stei Achuza. Ma Stei Achuza Yotze B'Yovel U'B'Giron Kesef, just like a Stei Achuza goes out in the Yovel and with a defeasance of the purchase price, Ab Batei Chatzerim Yotze B'Yovel U'B'Giron Kesef. I Ma Stei Achuza Eina Nig'elet B'Pachot Mishtei Shanim, so maybe you should have a full din of a Stei Achuza, and it won't be redeemed until the first 2 years elapse. The pasuk continues and says, "Gula tiyalo," that immediately it has that gula miyad. Hoyel v'natan lahem koach yafeh shebesadot, v'koach yafeh shebebatim. Since it gets the benefit of both the sadot and the batim, yachol lo yitzu biyovel. So maybe they shouldn't go out in the yovel because they have such a good time. Like what Rabbi Shimon said before about timing the krah. Since you have so many opportunities to redeem it, maybe they shouldn't go out in the yovel. That's the conclusion of the pasuk that biyovel yitzei, they go out in the yovel. So where it says my kamar, what does this mean? So Rabuna, lo nitzrucha la magdish bayit bebatei achatzerim. It's coming to discuss an issue where a person was magdish his house that was not in a walled city. V'ga'alo acher miyad hakdesh. Was purchased of hakdesh by a third party. U'paga biyovel b'shana shniya. And in that second year, after it was sold out by hakdesh, the yovel comes. So the ma'i midamit lei. What do I compare this house to? If I compare it to a batei arei choma ichlit lei, the lokeach, then it would already be done after the first year, and it would be nothing to talk about. It would have been sold and gone. If I compare it to a stei achuza midamit, the kohanim nafka, it goes out to the kohanim on the yovel. Therefore, the pasuk here tells you, yovel yitzei, that you get it back. Unlike a stei achuza, and unlike a batei arei choma, when you're Magdish, this item, you will get it back at the Yovel. So Matkif La Rab Zeiri, Ma'iria Golo Acher. Why do you have to have it that a third party purchased it? Afilu Golo Golo Nami. Even if it was Magdish it to Ekdesh, and he didn't redeem it, nobody redeemed it, it remained with Ekdesh. So Rabbi Shlo Yamru Ekdesh, you'll say, Velo Pidayon. In order that you cannot say that Ekdesh goes out for free, there has to be someone who redeems it. Either a third party buys it, or you have to redeem it in order to get it back. So that's why the example that I was given was a case where a third party bought it, not an example where it just remained with Ekdesh. Where it says, Minolon. How do you know that's true? Mi ben Levi. I learned that from a ben Levi. Ma ben Levi, shiafek koacho bim mimkaro. When it comes to a Levi, he has a strong position in his sales. Horak kocho be Ekdesho. Yet when he's magdishit, he does not have that same power. Israel shall rak kocho bim mimkaro. He doesn't have a strong position when it comes to a sale. Enu din shorak ocho be'ekdesho, then certainly he should not have a strong position when it comes to ekdesh. Gemara says, v'hotam idolon. Explain to me the case by Levi. D'tanya. It says by the Levi, when it comes to the batei arei Levim, it says, v'yatza mimkar bayit ve'ir achuzato be'yovel. Ki batei arei Levim, hi achuzatom. When it comes to the fields or the city of the Levi, it says, v'yatza mimkar bayit ve'ir. So that he gets back his possessions in the Yovel. I would think that would include not just the bayit, but all of his possessions. Tamalomar, bayit, abir achuzato. Ma tamalomar, bimkar, karav yotze bichinam, and ekdesh yotze bichinam. So why does it say, bimkar? I've already told you that the bayit, the ir achuzah, comes to teach you that his memkar, if he sold the house, it comes back to him for free on the Yovel. But Hekdesh does not come back to him for free because it's not Memkar. Elabipidayon. He has to redeem it in order to get it back. So since the Bein Levi, when he has a strength, when it comes to selling of a house, even in a walled city, he gets it back on the Yovel. Nevertheless, when it comes to Hekdesh, he's got to redeem it. So certainly here, Israel sold his house in a walled city, would not get it back at all. And certainly over here, where he would gave his house over to Hekdesh, he'll have to redeem it. He can't get it back for free. Pligi de Rebbe Oshaya. And this argues on Rebbe Oshaya, Dam Rebbe Oshaya. Hakola yu bichlal. Everything was included on the pasuk, benatana kesef vikamlo. There is no such pasuk of benatana kesef vikamlo. Closest pasuk to this is by stei achuza, magdish stei achuza. which it says there, Vim goli gael et hasadeh makdisha tov yasaf kamishit kesev erchala vikam lo. If he pays the money, he'll get the field back by the stei achuza. So by that pasuk, it says, "V'natani kesev kam lo kisheparata kotu b'stei achuza v'yasadeh b'tzei tov yovel kodesh l'Hashem." When it comes to the yovel, the field will then be kodesh l'Hashem. So dehu de paraklei v'nafka l'koinim. That's only true if the field was redeemed, then it goes out to koinim. Avahanach de kaimi kaimi. But other fields or other possessions, like a house, when it comes to the yovel, they go out for free. So Rav Oshaya believes that if you're makdish bayit chetzerim, where makdish a house that's not in a walled city, the yovel comes, you get it for free. The only time that you have to redeem it and then it goes out in the yovel to the koinim is with a stei achuza. It's a unique din in stei achuza. It's not a din with any other piece of property. So over here, when they come to the yovel, go out for free. On the other hand, the way Abaye is explaining is that no, that's not the case. If it was redeemed by somebody else, then it comes out to you for free. If it was not redeemed by someone else, then it has to be redeemed. That's true of a Levi, who has to redeem his property. That's true of Yisrael, who never had his property sold, except for a stei achuza. Again, when it was another property, like a bayit chatzirim, in those cases, they'll get it back to the yovel, but they have to redeem them. So that's a machloket here, where they have to redeem in that case. And that leads to the difference in their halacha. Over yovel yitzei lomali. So then, what do I need the pasuk over yovel yitzei, according to Rabbi Oshaya? That a person sold a house in an unwalled city, and the yovel happened on the second year. Which I compare it to. If I compare it to a house in a walled city, it would already be sold forever. We saw at the beginning of the parak, you have to make up the 2 years. You have to give him a minimum of 2 years. And if the yovel comes in that period of time, you have to make it up after the yovel. He has to get a minimum of 2 years. That even this bayit gets out on the yovel no matter what. Even though it didn't meet the minimum threshold of 2 years, it goes out on the yovel. Tanya Kavati, the Rav Huna, we have a brayta that supports the position of Rav Huna, with Tiyuf to the Rav Oshaya, and it's a strong question against Rav Oshaya. The Magdish, bayit, person's makdish, a house in an unwalled city, is allowed to redeem it immediately and can redeem it forever. Galo acher, it was redeemed by a third party. If it was galo acher miyad akdesh, it was redeemed by a third party,
and he does not redeem it in the interim from this third party,
and then the yovel comes, it goes back to him for free. But what do you see from that? It was only if a third party redeemed it does it come back to him for free. But if a third party did not redeem it, he won't get it back for free. And that supports the position of Rav Huna, the way he explained the Gemara, according to Abaye. And it goes against the position of Rav Oshaya, who says that you'll get back the house for free without any geula. Over here you see that there's a requirement for geula in the breita before you get it back on the yovel. All right, next Mishnah. What's the definition of a batei chatzer as opposed to a batei arei choma? So it's shnei chatzerim shel shnei batim. If you remember, batei arei choma, we said the minimum is 3 courtyards with 2 houses each. That means if you have a walled city with 2 courtyards and each courtyard has 2 houses, that's not considered to be batei arei choma, even if it has a choma mimod yeshua binun. Arein batei chatzerim. Tarabanan. How do we know this? Mimash v'shinemar batei chatzerim. When it comes to the pasuk and discussing the batei chatzerim in Vayikra Chavhei, pasuk lamed alef, it says u'batei chatzerim asher en lehem choma saviv. It reads the word batei in paro and chatzerim in paro. Eni yodei asher en lehem choma. Then the pasuk says after that en lehem choma saviv. If they're batei chatzerim, obviously they don't have a wall around them. So what does it mean, in lehem choma? But don't understand lehem choma. Af al pi yesh lehem choma means that even if they do have a choma, k'mi she'en lo choma. It's as if they don't have a choma. Even though they have a choma, it's as if they don't have a choma. The kama. When is it considered that even though they have a choma around it, it's as if they don't have a choma? Batim shnayim, chatzerot shnayim. It says batei, plural, chatzerim, plural. That's 2 and 2. Therefore, shtei chatzerot, shtei batim. So if you have 2 chatzerot, you have 2 courtyards with 2 batim each in them, even though there's a wall around them, they don't qualify to be a walled city. Name a bayit v'chatzerim, meaning that there's 2 chatzerot and 1 house each in each of them. Where it says, if they have courtyards, and obviously we know that a courtyard comes with a house in it. A chatzer is defined by the fact that it has a house. It's called a courtyard because it relates to the house that's there. A courtyard is something that has something opening into it. A karpaf is a simple piece of land that's there. So the fact that the Torah called it a chatzer already tells me that the minimum, two chatzerot with one house each. So then it comes along and says, batei, in plural, the batei must add on another house to each of those chatzerot. The batei is not just one house for each chatzer, that's why there's plural, that's only two. There must be that there are four here, because chatzerim already told me that there are one house for each chatzer. So batei comes to add on an additional house to each chatzer. Okay, next Mishnah. Israel, shirash avim olevi. If Israel inherits his grandfather from his mother, his maternal grandfather, who is a Levi, inherits him. And O Goel Kaseder Zeh, he does not redeem in this way, in the way of the Levi. Chen Levi Shereshet Avim O Yisrael. So too a Levi, who inherited from his maternal grandfather, who's Yisrael. Ain't O Goel Kaseder Zeh, he does not redeem like a Levi. Shinemar, Pasuk says, Ki Bate Arei Leviim Hi Achuzatam. Ajei Levi Ve Arei Leviim. It has to be a Levi and an Arei Leviim Divrei Rabbi. Chumim Amrim, Ein Divrei Melalo Amrim Ele Barei Leviim. The din has to do with the Arei Leviim, not to do with the Ben Levi. So now the Gemara goes back and says that the Mishnah is not so clear how it works, the sequence in the Mishnah. Because it first says, Yisrael Sheirash Avim Olevi, Yisrael who inherits his maternal grandfather Levi, does not be Goel like this. But who is Goel like this? Sounds like a regular Levi would be Goel like this. Yet the Mishnah then continues and says you have to both be a Levi, and you have to be an Arei Leviim. So it seems to me that the Mishnah is not consistent in its movement through the cases. That's what the Gemara asks. Elukiman, when it says that Yisrael that inherits his maternal grandfather, that he doesn't redeem the property like a Levi, then who does? Ben Levi. V'hadar Tani, and then afterwards the next line in the Mishnah, meaning that the Divrei Rabbi is Tani Ajei Levi, V'arei Leviim, that you require not only to be a Levi, but he has to also be in a city of the Leviim. So, Ema, Eno Gwel Elikaseder Azeh, Ad, Shehe Levi, Varei Elivim, Divrei Rabbi. That it's a continuation, meaning that he doesn't get that privilege because he doesn't have, even though it's in the Arei Elivim, nevertheless, since he's not a Levi, it does not qualify. And the other way around, for the Levi who inherits his maternal grandfather who is Yisrael, he is a Levi, but that property is not in the Arei Elivim. So each one of them is missing one aspect of this, according to Rabbi. Bishlom Arei Elivim Dichtiv. How do I know that the Arei Elivim, it has to be in the city of Levim? Where do I know that din from? It's in Chafei and Vayikra Pasuk Lamed Bet. Vayrei Alevim, Batei Arei Achuzatam, Gulat Olam Deel Alevim, Vasher Igalman Alevim, Yatsam Yimkar Bayit Veir Achuzato, Ki Bayovel, Ki Batei Arei Alevim, Hui Achuzatam. So it says Arei Alevim, and then it says Ki Batei Arei Alevim, Hui Achuzatam. So we know we're talking about the Arei Alevim. But how do I know that it has to be a Levi? So Bishlam Arei Alevim Dikti Batei Arei Alevim. El a Levi min olon. Where do I know there has to actually be a Levi? Dichtiv. Vasher igal min ha Leviim. It'll be redeemed from the Leviim. Tanya. Vasher igal min ha Leviim yachol Levi mi Yisrael igal zer yafekuchol v'zer rakuchol. Might be that if a Levi sold his property to Israel, he'll be redeemed with all these privileges of a Levi because he has rights over the Israel. The Levi has unique rights, and therefore he gets to exercise those rights against Israel. Of a Levi, Levi, maybe there was a transaction between two Leviim. Lo, that he wouldn't be able to have these rights, because they both have privileges. But the privileges, maybe they don't get this. Tamad Omar, min aleviim, lo kol aleviim, prat abei leviim, and zer v'natin. Means that you can redeem from some leviim, but not all leviim. What is that? It's a levi who has some sort of mum about him, a mum in yichus, that he's born as a mamzer, or he's born from a natin, an illicit or illegal marriage, and that creates this Ben Levi. He doesn't qualify to get the privileges of being a Ben Levi. But you see from there that it's only a Ben Levi who's a mamzer natin who doesn't get those privileges. But any other Levi would get those privileges, whether it comes to another Levi, or whether it comes to Israel. V'achamim amin, ein dvarim alalo amrim ele barei aleviim, aval ad shei levi lo amrinan. They say that the privileges are all about the Arei HaLeviim, revolves around the city, does not revolve around him being a Ben Levi. So the only qualification is where the property is found, not having anything to do with whether he is a Levi or he's not a Levi. So Levi will not have these rights outside of the Arei HaLeviim, and Israel within the Arei HaLeviim will have those rights because it's about the city, not about the Levi himself. Based on that, the conclusion is that Rabbi believes you need both. Yichus, you have to be a Levi. A Levi, Yisrael will not qualify as well as the Levi who's in Atina Mamzir. And you need Arei Leviim to qualify in order for this property to have these rules. Whereas the Chamin believe it all revolves around simple point is whether you're in the Arei Leviim or not in Arei Leviim. It's a protection for the cities. It's not a protection for Leviim in general. And therefore it doesn't matter who you are. It matters where the property is located. Hey, last Mishnah. Enosim sadeh migrash, velo migrash sadeh. You cannot make a field into a migrash or a migrash into a sadeh. Migrash is empty area around the city that is for aesthetics. It makes the city nice. Sadeh is the plantable, usable land around the city that's outside of that area that is left fallow. Or is that fallow? It's left with trees. It's made nice. It's the parks around the city. You're not allowed to change those. Below migrash here, you can't make those places that are the parks outside the city, the empty space, into the city. Expand housing into there. Below here, migrash. And you can't destroy houses in order to put in migrash. So Amar Rav Elazar Amed, Dvarim Amurim Barei Aleviim. That's true by the Arei Aleviim. Aval Barei Yisrael Osim Sadeh Migrash. By Arei Yisrael, you're allowed to change a field into a migrash, an empty area, or migrash sadeh. You're allowed over there to make a field into a migrash into a sadeh, and a migrash into a ear. The parks around it you can use to build out the city. Velo ear migrash. The only thing you can't do is make a city into a migrash. Shlo yachrivu at Arei Yisrael. To protect Arei Yisrael, we want to have yishuv aret. We want to protect yishuv aret. The only thing you're not allowed to do is destroy houses. Kohanim, valeviim, mochrim leolam, vigolim leolam, shnemar gulat olam tiyel leviim. Kohanim and leviim are allowed to be goel forever and sell forever, because it says Golat Olam Tiel Leviim. So we actually bumped into this. The explanation of this line of the last line of the Mishnah is somewhat difficult. We'll continue with that tomorrow. Just an explanation of this last line of the Mishnah and finish up the Gemara tomorrow.